Hey guys, so before you listen to this week's episode, we wanted to come in and talk about the current state of our country. All three of us, Crystal, Joy, and myself, we all proudly stand with Black Lives Matter, and we wanted to show our support here before this episode where we're talking about strong, powerful Black women. Joy, Crystal, do you have anything you want to add or say?
Like Anna said, yes, we do proudly stand with Black Lives Matter. On our Twitter and our Instagram, we'll be putting up links to places where you can donate to bail funds and different links to petitions, several very important petitions that are going around right now. There is also someone created this really great resource. And it is a YouTube video where, just in case, you know, we're not all able to financially give to some of these causes, because there are a lot of great places to be giving to right now. But it's about an hour long video that has a lot of ads on it. And all you have to do is let it play through. And the ads are what's going to generate revenue for these different organizations. So we'll definitely put up a link on Twitter and Instagram for you to do that, because it's something really easy that you can do. You don't physically have to give any money if you're not able to, but it's still a way for them to get some help. So we'll be doing that and a couple of other things. Just some resources, and Anna's got a list of books to recommend.
Just a few things. There's that 13th on Netflix. A lot of people are talking about how that's a really great watch and it's really educational. How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. Also, I just started reading Stamped from the Beginning, which is like a history throughout America of racism and kind of where it all started and stemmed from. Medium.com has a great article called 75 Things White People Can Do for Racial Justice. It's a really great list. Also listen to 1619. It's a podcast by the New York Times. And Code Switch is another great resource podcast. That I know is for sure available on Apple. I'm not sure if it's available everywhere. Make sure you're registered to vote. We're just a few months away from a really huge, monumental vote. And we got to get this racist son of a bitch out of office. We have to. So yeah, Crystal, you have anything you want to say?
No, just education is really important. Make sure you're educating yourself. A lot of the things that Anna listed, you're watching TV already, you're listening to podcasts already, just make sure it has a purpose behind what you're doing.
Yeah. There's also another link I'll post up on Instagram and on Twitter, lists of Black owned businesses in some of the big cities in Texas. I know there's one for Fort Worth, Dallas, Houston. There's even one for McAllen.
Really?
Yes, there is. One of my friends, my friend Leslie, posted it earlier yesterday. So just if, you know, there's things you're already going to buy, you already want to go like eat out or get some takeout or get delivery or whatever. And so these are some places that you can support. Really people at like, you know, our local level that you can support with just, it's not even like a donation. You're still getting something from it. So just to show your support for some of these businesses that, you know, really.
That does help.
That really does help. Because that puts money in pockets of like your neighbors and, you know, people you go to school with.
Yeah.
Community.
Yes, exactly.
So enjoy our discussion on Hidden Figures, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, bye. Guys.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of, I almost said We Are Thoughts. We
have. I mean, we are, kind of.
Our thoughts as well. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And we're doing another Oscar Rewind. And today we're talking about Hidden Figures.
Or Hidden Fences, right?
Or Hidden Fences.
Yeah.
It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress for Octavia Spencer, and Best Adapted Screenplay. Three noms, zero wins. What a fucking shame.
Honestly, why it wasn't nominated for more things is kind of sad. Because, like, it was really good.
It was excellent. It was excellent.
I think Taraji P. Henson probably should have got that Best Actress nom.
Or Janelle Monáe for Best Supporting.
We could have had two. Hello. We could have doubles. Hello. They did it for, what was it?
Scarlett Johansson.
No.
Your favorite actress on the planet.
The favorite, where you had three women leading and they had to split up the categories.
Exactly.
They could have done the same shit. Less likely that they would have won, they could have done it anyway.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Octavia Spencer wouldn't have won because it was Viola Davis's.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Hands down. Even though she should have been the lead, but whatever. They could have had... So the nominations for Best Supporting Actress were Viola Davis, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea.
Kick out Michelle Williams. Or I'll be able to tell that.
I like Nicole Kidman, but I think Janelle Monáe had more flair. And she did a lot with...
Her part was much bigger than Nicole Kidman.
There was range there.
Because Nicole Kidman had moments, and we'll get to when we get to Lion, but I feel like Janelle Monáe, the whole time, she was
on it 100%.
She was on it the whole time.
She's definitely like a scene stealer. I think she brings a very interesting... like breath of life into the projects that she does.
Only her second movie. Her first movie was Moonlight. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the first movie you ever in won Best Picture? That's crazy.
And this movie is nominated for Best Picture the same year.
Yeah.
Wow.
The talent. So it should have gotten at least that.
But this was the first time a Black actor was nominated in all four acting categories.
Woo!
Wow.
Octavia Spencer is the first Black actress to be nominated after a win.
Wow. This surprise. Is sad that this has happened in 2017.
Surprise,
barely.
But not.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, Octavia Spencer, just like all the many other older actresses who just get nominated for whatever they do, fair, because she's... very good.
I'm ready for her to be a lead, though. I think she's...
I know.
She's a quality supporting. She's solid as a rock. Mm-hmm. Everything she does is great.
Mm-hmm.
But she should be a lead. And actually, she was.
She deserves
that
to be
Madden C.J. Walker show we haven't seen yet.
Oh, we haven't finished it. Where's the first episode?
We did?
Yes.
Oopsies.
Tony finished it. He said he liked it.
Well, I will have to do that. Sorry, Octavia Spencer.
She has a show coming to HBO with Aaron Paul that looks really good.
Oh, yeah?
Really? Is she a lead?
I believe so. I think she's a host of a podcast, a murder mystery podcast, and then she starts talking to someone who's in jail for murder, Aaron Paul, and she's telling his story to try and get him out or something.
It kind of sounds like, what was the Serial podcast we listened to?
Serial.
Basically cereal.
Cereal?
Well, no, what was it? His
Frosted
name?
Frosted Flakes.
Oh, no. Adnan.
Adnan, yeah, it's kind of like that story a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
What channel is it on?
HBO.
What channel is it on?
HBO, she said.
I'm not sure if it's HBO or HBO Max, but I know it's an HBO.
First of all, HBO Max.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay, sorry.
So, I don't know why La La Land was nominated for Best Costume Design, because that's some bullshit. We could have nominated Hidden Figures for this. That would have been a much more fair thing, because everything was tailored beautifully. Everything, all the patterns and the colors that they used were appropriate to each character. The clothes tell a story, but they weren't distracting.
Yeah. Even all of the men in their white button-down shirts, it was very uniform, and it did add to the story, seeing all of these men in white button-down shirts and black slacks, and then Taraji P. Henson in her dresses. Like, that was, it was visually effective.
Yeah, it was robbed for a lot of other nominations, at least nominations. Didn't even have to win, but just nominations.
I loved this movie. I loved it when I first saw it.
Yeah.
I cried my eyes out the second time around because it's was so, maybe I wasn't in the right space emotionally, but at the end of the movie, when, you know, they have their information at the bottom, like, she went on to do this, went on to do that, I started crying, because, like, seeing these women of color doing all these wonderful things and being the first to do them was, like, really overwhelming. And then I started crying again, realizing that, like, after this happened, they were basically erased from history up until this point. That's terrible.
Watched this yesterday, and it was very hard and very heavy to watch with everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that affected me more than I thought it would.
Well, because, like, when we saw it a couple years ago, these things, like, protests and police brutality and all of that was already happening, and it was getting to its escalation point then, but I think now that it's basically just, like, a rewind of a couple years ago, it is a lot harder, because I saw it yesterday, too, and I was, like, in the first scene when the cops come and stop them, when they're stuck on the side of the road, I'm, like, I know this is not going to go bad, but I'm still nervous. Still makes me nervous.
That was, like, my first note, was watching this opening scene with everything that's been happening the last week. It's just so much heavier. And yeah, it's a light moment in the movie, but it definitely had a sense of gravitas.
Yeah, I think there was something that hit me this time that I didn't think about before, or maybe it wasn't, I was, whatever. But just how the mood of that time period was, because it was the very beginning of the civil rights movement, the energy and, like, people's the motivation to get together, the leadership, all of that, mm-hmm. and, you know, how much faith they had that they could get these things done in the start of that movement, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a like powerful time and space. And I feel like, especially in that scene where they're at the church and the pastor's, like, calling them out, like, look, our ladies are doing this. And, you know, Martin Luther King is doing that. It felt like they were going forward. Like, they were pushing with, like, positivity. Yeah. Like, there was progress going to happen.
It was hopeful in that sense.
Yeah, it and really I was.
Like, with that line of, like, being first, you know, it's how important it is to be first, and how scary it is to be first, and how impactful it is. Like, she, like, when Jenna Monáe is at the court, and she's, like, telling him, she's, like, appealing to him, saying, like, you'll be the first one if you let me do it. And, you know, I'll be the first, and then you'll be the first one. And, like, all that being the first, how it's, like, you should be proud of that. But also, like, it's a weight to bear, because you being the first one opens up all of these doors for all these people behind you to walk in.
And, like, this movie as a whole just makes me think, like, how many times Black women have been at the front lines of fighting for so many rights that just women in general have. Right. And, like, these ladies, and they don't get any credit for it. Because you didn't see, like, a group of white women being the computers or whatever and making all these technological advancements. But
nod in the scene where Catherine is first introduced to the room when she first gets the job. Mm-hmm. There was a slight nod of his secretary being like, and she can speak, like,
woman,
but she's here to do the job that you asked her to do.
Right.
She's qualified to do. So I did, like, I liked that nod of support there.
And it goes back and forth, because then later she said, she's like, oh, I don't know where your bathroom is. You know, so she's, like, supportive, but also, like, she's still white.
Yeah. And I think
so. It's like the back and forth of that.
I think the movie did a great job of, like, separating that, being like, this achievement is Black women's achievement. This is theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because anytime that there was a white woman around, it's all those, like, microaggressions of, like, like what you said, like, oh, I don't know where your bathroom is.
Yeah.
Or, like, looking at her funny whenever she's, like, putting her stuff down on her desk. And I think it's really important that they kept that in the story, which is, you know, that adapted screenplay is working there. Because, white women in particular use the excuse of following the rules, which is one of the lines that I think Kirsten Dunst says. She's just following
the rules. I don't make the rules. I just work here, whatever.
Yeah, which is such an excuse to uphold systematic racism, to just keep them from, you know, excelling and doing things that they are capable of doing, but she doesn't know how to be a woman and like be in solidarity with these black women.
Yeah.
Because she's prioritizing her whiteness first.
Yeah. Well, it's, I love that scene in the bathroom with Octavia Spencer and Kirsten Dunst where she's like, you know, I don't have anything against you guys. Octavia Spencer's like, well, I think you, what did she say?
She says, I know you probably believe
that. Probably believe that. Yeah. That's a great line.
Yes. I love that they didn't like back off of that. They didn't go easy on them because it's not just all of this man that hands her like a trash can when she first enters the room to Catherine. It's also the women that are upholding this like white supremacy.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, that's a mic drop, bitch.
I love that. That's my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Yeah, because Kristen Dunst's face after that.
And the
that,
way that Octavia is, she's like, and then she just walks off.
Because that's great. Exactly how they...
Great.
That's exactly how she's been talking to her the whole
time. Exactly.
And she's just like, I'm going to dish it right now because I know I have a little bit more power because I'm getting the supervisor thing.
And Octavia Spencer was so classy the entire time.
Yes. Also, like, okay, so... I think like halfway through the movie, I was like, 100%, this is a best picture.
Yeah.
It's definitely a best picture.
Yeah.
I felt it. I didn't even have to finish the movie to be like, no, this deserves to be here.
I love that it was PG. I'm sorry, Anna, I feel like we're the only ones talking.
No, you're fine.
I love that it was PG because it can be shown with families. And I think that's very important, you know, to show young girls of color and even young boys of color that like you can do it, like you, if you have the smarts, don't hide that, like it's possible, you just gotta go for it.
I remember at the time when this movie was out, people were buying out screens to take young kids to see this movie, young black women to see this movie, and young black kids, because it is an important part of our collective history and their history specifically, and to be able to celebrate it the way it should have been celebrated was great.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely like history that just got thrown into the rug because it wasn't a history that, you know, the people in power wanted to have told. But I think that's what's so important and so great about like the direction in which a lot of people are moving forward, is that there's space for these stories to be told.
I kind of showed him and like, so sorry, we erased this from history.
Yeah.
There was no like apology. Just like, oh, here's a movie. It's Oscar nominated.
Well, and you also, I'm not excusing the erasure of this story, but if you think about the time, there wasn't the 24-hour news cycle quite yet. Right. The information was so much harder to come by. And so what's going to win in the race of headline news? The fact that these amazing women are doing the work, or the fact that we got a man on the moon, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, people like
their achievements were outshining their work.
Right. Cause you have like the face of who made this achievement. But then you have all the behind the scenes people that have been doing the literal calculations to get them there.
Because even if they put that on the newspapers back then, they wouldn't have read that part. They would have read, oh, the moon. You know?
Oh, look at this guy on the moon. Like, yeah. Who is that
That's
guy?
I didn't even think about that. I wrote, Jenna Monet is so pretty.
First of all.
Because she's so beautiful.
Scene stealer. I also wrote Janelle Monáe. It's stunning. Is stunning. Also, between those three characters, I was like, oh, well, I'm Mary. Because she's getting Mahershala Ali's attention and be like, hey, come over here. I know she's too shy to ask you to talk to her, but no, she really does want to talk to you. I was like, look, it's me.
That's very true.
And I know you two would be hesitant and be like, no, don't bring him over here. And I'd be like,
oh my God. Nothing would get done if Lynn's story was there. I love
fact. the bathroom story actually happened to Mary in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but after the first instance, she complained, she was ignored, and she kept going to the bathroom and didn't care what anybody said. She was like, I have to go. I'm going. So it wasn't this big thing of her like having to walk across campus or whatever. She was like, screw that, I'm going. And I was like, that's very
scary for you.
Yeah, but that's good though, because it's like the principle of the matter to be able to get that story across. Yeah.
I love that Kevin Costner is a professional friend of people of color. I love that. Kevin Costner is great. I love him.
Speaking of Kevin Costner, casting, again, really great job. The whole cast, everybody was good. Because Mary's husband, played by Aldous Hodge, I believe, he's really great. And I didn't realize this was the first thing I had seen him in.
What else is he in?
One moment. Mahershala Ali, quality man.
He looked great in that suit.
God, he looks so good all the time.
Rather. Excuse me.
Speaking of, do you want to talk about the engagement whenever he proposed to her?
All right. So, again, I was crying because he says, I marry you, I marry your girls, too. And I think that's beautiful.
Beautiful.
And I was like,
oh, sobbing. Sobbing. Oh, my God.
I was crying too much, let me tell you. I can't even, like, okay. Everyone was great. What's his name? Jim Parsons. I feel like he only has, like, one skill. He's basically playing, like, what's the character's name on that show?
Big Bang Theory?
Sheldon. I feel like he was just playing Sheldon, but, like, in...
Like a smart, snarky man?
Does he have any range?
I like Jim Parsons. I think he's great.
Does he have range?
Yeah, he's been on Broadway quite a few times and,
oh, okay.
and great things there.
Okay. It's not in, like,
movies or TV. Have you seen
well, him? That's probably why he went to Broadway, so he can, like, open, like...
Maybe.
Like, do things that weren't just what people expected from him.
I saw Home, and he's, like, a... That's an animated movie, and he's also smart, like, alien in that movie, too, so...
Well... Right?
What did he do on Broadway? The what? What did he do on Broadway?
He did this great play called, oh God, it had all the pretty gay boys in it.
Oh, all right. Is that what it was called? All the pretty gay boys?
I can't remember off the top of my head. He also did this play where he played God. It was a one-man show.
Oh.
He's also done a movie recently with Claire Danes where they have an autistic son. I haven't seen it yet, but.
Not at all.
All right.
He was in the Black Museum episode of Black Mirror. He's also in The Invisible Man and Clemency, which is that movie I still need to see. It's on my watch list. Aldous Hodge. Not what's his name.
So I'm so stupid because there's... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, I've seen him in quite a few things. I was looking through his IMDb.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I'm so stupid because all of this stuff was like way over my head. There was like numbers floaty and like, just, go ahead, get it. I don't know what you're saying.
When they said, leave your calculator, I was like, then how do you expect me to do this shit?
I know, right?
Leave your calculator.
Like, they just did math. Like, they were the actual computer. That blows my mind. Like,
also,
I can't even comprehend that.
I've been watching Grey's Anatomy, and there's, shut up, at one point they're doing this clinical trial for Alzheimer's, and so they're going through, like, questions for people and things to remember, and one of them is, count backwards from 100 by 7, and I was like, I could do 93, and then I'm going,
93,
oh, by 7, okay,
6.
Clearly, we're really great at this.
I was like, that.
That's gonna, really difficult.
They're going to do that. Alzheimer's, and I just can't count.
That would be not great.
So what an exciting time it must have been then to, like, everyone was going to the moon. Like, what a...
The space race.
Yeah, like, what an interesting time.
I get so weepy and stupid about space and, like, the adventure and the exploration of it and the seeing what's out there. But the fact that these guys were doing it for power over Russia, because they were going to colonize the space, they thought they could do. And like, this makes me so mad. But the engineer telling Mary that she needed to be an engineer, and him talking about space in that romantic way, I was like,
The Polish engineer. He was one of the guys, he was one of the bad guys in Home Alone 3.
Oh my God, you're right.
But like, oh my God. Okay. He was like so soft and so nice in this. I really liked him. Him and Janelle Monáe's, him and Mary's relationship was really nice. Their friendship, that he was rooting for her.
So did you know that there's a Women of NASA Lego set with them three as Legos? And so what I want now is a Women of NASA Lego movie. That would be amazing.
I want the Legos. I want to play.
Now I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
I want the Lego movie. Mm-hmm. Women of NASA. That would be.
Speaking of not NASA or Legos, but movies. This movie really has it all. It's like drama, romance, there's comedy, there's a little bit of action because they're going to the moon. It's really, there's something for everybody.
But what's great about it is it has a great balance.
Yeah.
Yes.
They spend a whole lot of time on their personal lives, but we also got a taste of it. And we didn't spend so much time on the astronauts. We just got a taste of them. I think it was so perfectly balanced. And what's his name? Glenn, the astronaut who went up, really did ask for Catherine to redo the numbers. But he did it well before the launch, so it wasn't as dramatic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But that's magic. They would not send a man into space without checking their math, like, but at least the day before.
He specifically asked for her to do it. That was factual, just not timing-wise.
Love it.
There's another part where I got all sad and weepy whenever Mary is getting ready for her first day of school, and her husband gifts her with some, like, mechanical pencils. And I was like, it should not be such a big deal that husbands are, like, supporting their wives, but it was, like, making me cry. Well, I was like, I need to see this all the time.
Agreed.
So, sadly, the real Katherine Johnson died just this year in February.
Yes. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. She was 101 years old.
But good for her, man. She lived a beautiful, long life. She really did.
She was stupid smart. She graduated high school at 14 and college at 18.
Ooh, that's nuts.
I was...
not graduating high school.
I don't want to remember back at 14, please.
I was being real stupid.
Girl. Yeah. What's math? I don't even know. So I read that Barbara Streisand wanted to direct this movie. Yeah, she read the script and she loved it. But something happened to where the writer ended up directing instead of her.
Okay.
I don't remember why, but I remember reading about that when around the time it was going to come out. She was so excited and she loved it and blah, blah, blah. And then things that were maybe like negotiations or whatever, I don't know. But she ended up doing it. But she wanted to.
That's cool.
And then I also read that in 2018, this was going to be turned into a series on that National Geographic. The Hidden Figures.
Oh.
I don't know if that's probably not going to.
Probably not.
What year are we in now? 2020?
2020.
So probably not.
Time is an illusion.
Is that deal that got, that is Disney?
Yeah. Wait.
Yes, I think so.
Because this was the beginning when they were doing those like scripted shows like a Genius.
Yeah.
So it was around that time. So they were wanting to do stuff like that. And I guess it didn't pan out. But we see the same story all the time, so I'm completely fine.
I don't mind seeing another version of this.
Movies of this, a documentary would be really great. I would love to see that.
Let's see if there's something out there like that already.
There's not enough.
There really isn't.
I mean, this...
Sadly.
I really, really love this movie. I'm so happy that I saw it again.
I would recommend it to anyone, honestly.
Yeah. At any age.
Any age.
Yes. Old people, children.
Yeah.
People will get it.
Yeah. When I was doing research, I didn't find as nearly as much as I thought I would.
Yeah. That's
all I have left was Catherine was 98 when the movie came out, and she was the only one alive to see it. In 2015, President Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom for her work at NASA.
Yeah.
In 2016, she was honored with a $30 million building at NASA named after her, the Katherine G. Johnson Computational Research Facility.
That's beautiful. That's what she deserves.
They should name, like, elementary schools after those three.
Yeah,
you
they
know
should.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they name schools
they
after...
might. In that area?
I hope so.
I'll have to look up and see if there's any of those
there
schools
should be
in
elementary
Virginia.
Schools named after them, or high schools, whatever.
Yeah, just schools.
Something.
Catherine G. Johnson School, or the Mary Jackson High School.
Yeah, because we got schools named after, like, way worse people. So this would not be a bad thing. That would be great.
It's so weird to think of Virginia as the South.
Oh, yeah.
Or more Southern and more... more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, they're so far north, and
yeah, compared to us.
But comparatively, we're very far south.
Yeah, for real.
I know.
And we can still go more south.
Yeah.
But am I crazy, or were they part of the South in the Civil War?
I believe they were the Virginians.
With Captain America?
No.
I know the joke.
yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was.
More that's so crazy to me because I think that's like way the fuck up there.
Mhm. Mhm. So I love this movie.
This movie's fucking great. Everybody should watch it.
I love Hidden Fences. It was great.
I don't know why that year we kept messing those names up.
No,
so
it wasn't
much.
Us. It was Michael Keaton. He said the name wrong.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know where it was, but he said hidden offenses like several times.
Ridiculous. That's funny.
Someone else did too, but I forgot who it was.
All right.
So anyway, so where does this fall on the ones that you like? Like
Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, and Hidden Figures.
Where's your ranking?
For me, it's Arrival, Fences, Hidden Figures, Hacksaw Ridge.
Mine is similar. Arrival, Hidden Figures, Fences, and Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, Arrival, Hidden Figures, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge.
So join me and Joy are the same.
Yeah. I actually, right now, just in the mood that I'm in, I'd probably put Hidden Fences first. I mean... Hidden Figures may be my number one. I don't know. It's tied for Arrival right now.
That's fair. I just think Arrival, we'll listen to our episode, but like Arrival.
If you want to know how we feel about Arrival, yes.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our episode.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have been talking longer. Sorry. That's like.
Were we really fast?
Because there was nothing for us to complain about.
I mean, you're right.
That means it did deserve to be nominated.
That's right.
We highlighted the good shit, and then it's like, wait, there's no bad shit to to open and discuss.
You're right, girl.
There's not.
What do we do if we don't complain? The time we say.
Really?
Wow.
Do we exist?
Really, that's just what a podcast is.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong there. What was that? What's the other one you said?
You're sure. Please. Oh, I can't do accents. Don't make me do it.
No, she did a British accent the other day. It was great.
What did I say?
Were you eating?
Was I eating?
No, she wasn't.
No, wait, let me have a brownie and I'll be able to do it.
No, you did it like just off the cuff. It was
I
great.
I did. It's because I had been watching
videos of someone.
No, no, I wasn't doing that. I just watched. I watched Vita in Virginia, which is starring Elizabeth Debicki and that brunette British girl that I can't
remember
her name.
Everyone in the country.
In that country, yes. about Virginia Woolf's relationship with Vida, who was a socialite at the time. It was really good, actually. My coping mechanism right now is period pieces. And that one, I have a list on Letterboxd that's people of color in period pieces. So I put that one on the list.
Nice.
I mean, it wasn't about them, but they were in there. And, you know, it was nice to see.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
yeah.
Very excited to keep going with this Oscar momentum we have.
I'm like I like that we have like homework and things like something fun to look forward to.
This is the only thing motivating me right now.
I mean, you know, I miss this.
This is talking
or complaining, I guess.
I mean, I like talking about, you know, good shit too.
I mean, we still did it, just like we didn't record it. Just last night we watched Man of Steel, and I was like, was it last night we watched Man of Steel? Or the night before?
Two nights ago.
Oh God.
Whatever. Wait, no, that was Tuesday because I got super.
Oh hell.
I got home late.
Someday this week we watched Man of Steel. And I had my commentary, and it was great.
Again, time is an illusion. This is not real.
And it's not like we stay home all day. We actually go to work.
Yeah.
Like, we should know what day it is, but we don't. So I don't know.
That's my dog.
So
I got scared of our laughs.
And it was really funny.
No, he heard someone open the door outside.
Oh.
Or knock. Those freak him out. So those are our thoughts on Hidden Figures.
The figures ain't so hidden no more.
That's right. Wow.
They're out in the open.
Like they should have been.
A long ass time ago.
So thank you, three Black women who are amazing. You were the first.
This should be taught in schools, what they did.
Again, history's written by...
I know. Or at least shown in schools. I saw so many crappy movies in school.
I know. I watched Forrest Gump. Like, that has nothing to do with history.
I watched it's a war movie and I was falsified. Like, this is Spanish class. Why am I watching this war movie? It had, like, Nicolas Cage or something. And there's, I watched, what was that? Wind Talkers, that's what it was called. And then I saw in, like, English class, some movie about, what was it called? It was in the future. Damn it. I'll figure it out. But it had like Uma Thurman in it, I think.
Oh, Gattaca.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, this is English class. What am I doing?
I think I watched that in science.
No.
At least that makes more sense.
Yeah, it was English class. I was like, we weren't even reading anything like this.
We watched The Patriot in fifth grade.
I remember watching that in history class.
Parts of it, though. We had to skip around the rated R bits. Because the movie is, in fact, rated R. We all had to get a special waiver signed so we could watch it.
Oh, really? Dang.
Well, the Wind Talkers in Spanish class, she was like, this is rated R, but don't tell nobody. So she just didn't want to watch it.
Was that Miss Hernandez?
No, I never had her. Who did that? I don't know. Some white girl who talks Spanish, basically.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. She was wonderful, though.
She was wonderful. But I was like, what's happening?
Doesn't make sense.
Anyway, so yeah, watch Hidden Figures. It's great.
Watch Hidden Figures. Let your kids watch Hidden Figures.
Yes.
Show your grandparents Hidden Figures.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, it really is.
It's very important. Oh, okay.
Ooh, we'll save that for after the podcast.
All right. Bye.
Bye.